Two sisters lived on separate sides of the states. One in NYC and the other LA. They both moved to Chicago and decided to stay. Now here's their playful podcast packed with Kid Lit Parlay. Children's books.
Are they really that great?
Talking children's books is with Kate and Hughes 8.
Children's books.
Why, what, and how?
Hughes 8 and Kate will break it down for you now.
So guess what I did yesterday?
You went bungee jumping.
So close.
You went skydiving?
Even closer.
You were on a plane.
I went to karaoke, correct. And in the karaoke, a coworker had invited me. And so we went to a place that was literally 3 blocks from my home.
Oh.
They do it once a month. It's at Double Clutch here in Evanston. And it, unbeknownst to me, it was someone's birthday. It was my coworker's husband's birthday. And it was entirely Little Shop of Horrors themed. So I got the greatest Audrey 2 chocolate cupcakes of all time, where the little strawberries were cut and then they made little fangs.
Oh, I thought you were saying the karaoke was all...
It was also a lot of... It wasn't all, but it was a lot of Little Shop of Horrors.
Interesting.
A lot.
Hmm.
And what's up with you?
How do I compete with that?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'll put in, you know what? I'll put on the Instagram the coolness of these cupcakes, because only their mouths closed overnight. So by
Wait
the time
minute.
The kids saw
Did
them.
Did you say chocolate cupcakes?
Yeah, but the strawberries on top looked like
butter
too.
Betsy, didn't you give up chocolate for
Yeah,
life?
I didn't eat them. I gave them my children because I'm a freaking
wow.
saint. That's who this is. You know what this is? Saint Betsy. And what holiday are we coming up, Kate?
Wait a minute. Didn't Jesus, the whole like giving up things for 40 days, doesn't that have to do with Jesus?
Sure. Why not?
He never said, look at me, I'm a saint.
I'm pretty sure, last I checked, my driver's license does not say I'm Jesus. So, I think I'm in the clear. Look in the mirror.
Oh,
I don't look like Jesus.
We are,
because I'm not him.
We are 2 minutes into the podcast and we are off the
rails. We have already
rails.
Established I am a saint and I'm not Jesus. Because Jesus, fun fact, was not a saint. Okay.
Welcome
we're
to the podcast,
up, people.
People.
We're all caught up. St. Patrick's a saint, but we'll be getting to him in a second.
Oh, are we
here.
Doing a St. Patrick's Day book?
Maybe.
Yeah?
But before we even get to that, who are you?
Me, Kate.
Me, Betsy. And this is Fuse 8 and Kate, where we talk about... picture books.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And if they are?
Little Shop of Horror themed.
Or?
Jesus.
Perfect. No notes. You got that in one.
Nice.
Well done. Yes. Also, if they are good or bad. But, you know.
Meh.
Who's counting? So you challenged me to find a new St. Patrick's Day
yes.
book. Now, I had to widen the net because specific leprechaun-y stuff. We did them all. I mean, not all. There's one. I have actually 3 in my bag. Because I, just in case it turned out we did this one, I have to have backup. I know we didn't. But there's always that chance. There's always that off chance that we did. Because one of them I'm actually not sure about. But that's not the one I'm pulling out.
Okay.
I'm pulling it out now.
All right.
Here we go.
Finn McCool and His Fearless Wife, A Giant Tale of Ireland.
Oh,
from Ireland.
From Ireland. By?
Robert Byrd.
Robert Byrd, spelled the wrong way. Yes, that's correct. Like he wasn't based on an animal. Yes, Finn McCool. I'm pretty sure we haven't done this one. Is that correct?
Correct.
Yeah.
I would remember His Fearless Wife.
Yeah, man. She is... She's a tough lady.
She doesn't have a name in the title, though.
No, this is, you know, my library once did an entire display that it was called She Has a Name, and it took, like, The Time Traveler's Wife, and, you know, there's so many books that called those things, like, Something's Daughter, and then we took Post-its and we put her name on each one of those books. It's the most popular display we have ever done. We should have done it this month for Women's History Month, because it's Women's History Month. So, does she have a name? That's a good question.
I'm going to find out.
Okay, you know what? You read this book and you tell me if she has a name or not.
Okay.
I don't actually know. Okay. While Kate does her read, let's talk about Robert Byrd. We can talk about this actual book when we actually get to it. Robert Byrd, however, we've never done him on this podcast to date, which is kind of funny considering the man has been working for over 45 years. I say has been working From what I can tell, his last book was back in 2019, called Liberty Arrives, about the Statue of Liberty. He does not appear to have done any books since then. But boy, the man was prolific. That's not a word. Prolific, that is a word. I'm keeping this in. I'm not changing that. That's what I said. I mean it. So for some of us, Robert Byrd had been around for quite a while, but he didn't come to like prominence until he illustrated the Newbery Award-winning Good Masters, Sweet Ladies by Laura Amy Schlitz. Now, here's a fun fact you may not have known. That book was supposed to be illustrated by Trina Shart Hyman, but then Trina Shart Hyman died and it got passed to Robert Byrd, who did a very good job with it, I must say. On his site, he has this to say about making books. When I'm working on a picture in a children's book, I like to think of the space I am working in as a small stage. This stage is filled with characters like an opera. In each scene, the most important characters sing the lines that tell the story and must be seen right away. The other characters on the stage help tell the story, but they are really secondary and part of the background, like scenery. The most important thing is to have the small world I create in a picture perfectly match the words of the story, so that even if it's a make-believe world in the eyes and minds of the readers, everything you see is real.
Faith in your back.
This is a long story.
I didn't know, but look how thin it is. It's like a thin little paperback I handed you.
Yeah, with a bunch of words on it.
I didn't read the words. I just looked at the
picture.
But
let me tell you, it is a great story.
Oh, good, because I know the original.
Well, I do like, even on the cover page, there's like animals flailing around. Cows, geese,
are there
pigs.
Are there eels?
No.
Aww. I was hoping for a good eel.
No, but this does make me want to go back to Ireland. Like the title page, it's just beautiful. You got a little sheep and it's so green and the water and it's, God, I just want to go back, man. Sea lions.
Okay, didn't expect sea lions. That was not the next word I expected to come out of your mouth.
Did you know that I saw a dolphin when I was in Ireland? Because if you go to Dingle, Ireland, they have a dolphin and it's adorable.
So the adorable dolphin of Dingle is what you're proposing?
Yes.
Marvelous.
Even the dedication page just screams of Ireland. It's got fairies. It's got the harp. It's got even the very
Does it have the Blarney Stone?
No, but the very first letter, like, you know, starting the story, it looks like it came out of the Book of Kells.
Oh, fantastic.
I mean,
that's what you want, right? That's what you want for a good Irish folktale. You want them to, like, lean into it.
And boy, do they lean.
Oh, the leaning there will be.
So much leaning.
Much with leaning.
And there's this kid named Finn who's born, and he's a giant baby.
He's a giant baby.
And it says his gran took him in, and my first note was, yeah, because his mom was split in two.
Oh my God, yes. Well, sometimes they start small and then they get bigger, but yeah, not that.
Well, yeah, so Grandma takes care of giant baby Finn.
Giant Finn.
Who needs 12 cows to follow him in order to... That's how much milk he drinks.
Per day?
Yeah.
You know, I had babies, and it felt like that. Only I was the cow, Kate. I was the cow.
But 12.
Yeah.
Who are the most chillest cows.
Well, good. Because you don't want stressed out cows.
No. They're just...
Not for this purpose.
They're just chilling. And all then... Right. At some point, Gran decides, I'm going to put you in a forest and leave you. Bye-bye!
Yeah, you know, that story checks
like,
out.
She's
yeah.
like, I'm going to trust you with the fairies.
Yeah, you know
I can't,
what?
I can't handle you.
Something magic's going on here, and I can't deal.
I got a cruise to go on, so I'm just going to leave you here.
We're going to Norway.
And she leaves the kid, Finn, with the High King of the Fairies, who welcomes
him. That's a good way to not get your kid back, but okay, sure.
Who says, look, I'm going to need you to eat this this magic fish, and then you're going to start getting some magic powers.
Sounds straightforward to me. What could go wrong?
Right. So, except when the fish was cooked, he accidentally burned his thumb, so now he sucks his thumb if he ever needs to see into the future.
I've heard variations on that where you're like, but I've heard variations where like you catch the fish and you're not supposed to eat any yourself and then you burn your finger and you suck on the thing, and then, oh no, you've eaten of the fish before, so now you get the powers and the other person doesn't. I've heard that variation in different folktales.
Well, he ate the fish, but then the fish came back.
Oh, it's okay. Zombie fish.
Who said, be loyal and honest and seek your own ways, and a wit's woman and courage will win you to the day.
When scans you scans beautifully.
The day.
Just trips off the tongue, trips so trippingly.
But this page, the illustration, there's so many different things to look at. You got a little fairy playing bagpipes. You got scary owls in the corner. You got some weird boar or something.
Oh, that's something.
Hidden behind him. I won't even mention the crazy gold dagger that's just chilling next to him.
Could come in useful. That's Chekhov's dagger.
The pages, there's so many different things going on. Like, you turn the page and it says eventually Finn grows up to be like the tallest man in Ireland, and you know, he decides to build a bridge from Ireland to Scotland just by putting a bunch of rocks into the water. And
oh, is that Giant's Causeway? I've been there. I've actually been there. That's how I know this story.
Yeah. But there's in the background, you got these men just riding whales, just woo!
Don't knock until you try. He's like, look, Ma, no hands. They're having a ball,
right?
I mean, if you could ride a whale, you'd ride a whale. Well, there was a movie about
they
that.
Are living the dream, man.
Yeah, they are.
So he's almost finished, in which on the other end he sees this really scary guy named Cucullin.
Oh, Cucullin,
who is like bigger than him, and he's a pretty big guy.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, tell me, if you finish this bridge, is he going to lead me to Finn McCool? And Finn's like, what are you going to do with this, like, Finn guy, you know?
I hate to be him.
And the McCool's like, aren't you a nosy one? Who might you be, you blockhead? I was like,
wow, just going to lead right in from the start. Yeah. This is how you make friends.
I mean, we know he's a bad guy because
he's mean for no reason.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I just want to know where these guys are getting their clothing. Like, who is making
Your tailor?
Who is making a size 58 shoe for them?
The shoe is a good question, because you need your own cobbler for
and
that.
And they have jewelry on. I mean, think of how much gold it's going to take to wrap around your wrist.
That's true.
You know, for a bracelet. And I mean, it's a lot of fabric
it's
going
just
on
a
here.
Lot of work. There's whole villages just working just to outfit these guys.
So Finn's like, oh, well, if I ever see that guy, I'll let you know. Okay, bye.
Bye.
And he runs away and he runs home to his wife.
That he acquired at some point.
He has a lovely wife named Una.
Yes.
And she's also a giant. It's not...
Oh, good.
It's not mentioned. Good. It's just implied by...
I'm not sure if that is always the case. I feel like there are versions of this where she is not a giant, but interesting. It makes more sense if she's a giant.
Right away, I love that she calls him out on his BS. Because she's like, what brings you home this time of the day? And he's like, oh, why the lovely sight of you.
Oh,
and she goes,
yeah, no.
I don't believe it. I was like, I like her.
Yeah, I like her.
From the start,
she's
I like her.
This is my me time away from you, and now you have come on my me time, and I'm going to need an explanation for that. Yeah.
And he's like, no, it's true. I missed your sweet face. And she says, enough of this nonsense.
Cut it out, bud.
Why? Stop being foolish with me. What is the trouble? And he sucks his thumb, and he's like, oh, man, like he's going to come tomorrow. And this guy, he's going to beat me and squash me like a bug. And if I don't do that, then I'm a coward. What am I going to do? And this is the second week in a row that you've given me a book that could be done on Thanksgiving. Because she has given him 4 turkeys.
It's always the turkeys. There's always turkeys in this book. This would have been a weird Thanksgiving.
There's
book,
like
so
40 potatoes.
I mean, it is Ireland.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of potatoes.
So she's like,
surprised
okay.
It wasn't corned beef.
Dude, yeah. I need you to chill. I'll figure it out. Just leave it to me.
Yeah.
And do exactly what I say. Mm-hmm. Well, she also comes from fairies. Just like he came from, you know, fairies.
Everyone's
help.
A changeling here. All right.
Yeah. And she has a cat who is a fairy also. The cat.
That's all cats, but sure. Okay.
And she has this sacred fairy harp. And she plays the harp, and the ancient fairy voices give her a riddle in which, because they can't give her a straight answer, apparently. But she's really good with riddles, and she knows exactly what she needs to do.
Okay.
Two things. Fun fact about the harp. Did you know that there is a difference between the Irish government harp, like what you might see on their currency, and the Guinness harp.
No, I did not know that. What's the difference?
So as Guinness had trademarked the harp symbol in 1876, and the Irish Free State government came about in 1922.
No way.
They had to turn the official government harp the other way around so that
because of copyright?
So that it could be differentiated from the trademarked Guinness
harp. You've got to be kidding me.
Nope. True story. Anyway.
Okay.
So this riddle. Tell me if you could figure out what this means.
Okay. Penny.
Una, fearless wife of Finn, say nothing rash, do nothing wild. Think breads and threads, both thick and thin. Nine colors, bright tie man to child.
Oh, she has to turn her husband into a baby and crush bread and make it look like rocks.
Holy crap.
Oh, I've read this book. Go on.
Well, that's exactly it.
I don't know about the threads part, though.
So. She takes nine woolen threads of different colors and weaves them into three braids. She puts one braid on her right arm, another tied to her heart, and the third around her left ankle. However, there is no explanation or reason as to why she does this.
Interesting. It's never brought up. You know what? That makes it seem more legit to me. When weird stuff happens and there's literally no explanation, I'm like, now that's magic.
Huh.
Because there's no reason for that to happen otherwise. That's so weird. It also makes me feel like the story's more authentic, because old stories and old folktales tend to have this random crap in there.
So just as you said, she makes 21 great rounds of cheese, but she puts them in a pile with yellow large stones.
They do look awesome.
She makes...
Oh, it's cheese, not bread.
Well, she also makes 21 great loaves of bread, but she puts a great iron pot inside some of the loaves. And then she puts those next to ordinary loaves of bread as well. So she's got some trick bread and trick cheese, essentially.
I like this. This is pranking for good. All right.
But then she stuffs her husband into a cradle.
Tells
her to pretend to be a baby. And then she says, all of Cucullin's strength is found in the gold finger of his left hand. How does she know this?
That was clearly in the riddle that she received. I did not see... anything about the gold finger.
Like, yeah, that's just so...
It's sort of random.
You were just told about this man, and yet now you know where his weakness lies.
He's like his Achilles finger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a all thing. Right. So Cucullin comes over. He's looking for Finn McCool. She's like, well, you know, no one is braver or stronger than my Finn. Meanwhile, he is... dressed as a baby in a cradle, scared for his life.
Probably sucking his thumb because that's what he does normally anyway.
Exactly.
I mean, it's kind of, you can see where she got the idea.
And she says, would you mind just picking up the house and turning it in the opposite direction because of the wind that's coming in? And Cucullin is surprised, but he does it.
I mean, nice guy.
And I'm just thinking, is she going to have this guy do all the things that her husband wouldn't do?
Yeah, sure. Like, can you rake the leaves?
Would you mind grabbing that pot that's really high up there? Like, good on her, I guess.
Whatever
I
mean, you could do. There's no reason for this either.
Oh,
given?
No, there's a reason. Oh, there's okay. But when I first read it, I was like, is she just having him do chores at this point?
I mean, why not? He's here and he's big.
So she... doesn't want to be rude. She says, though you two may be enemies, I will not be rude. Sit down, have yourself a bite to eat. She gives him some bread. Of course, it's the bread with the
iron.
Yep. And he takes a bite and he loses some teeth. And he's like, woman, I won't have a tooth left in my head. Who eats this bread? And she's like, oh, only my Finn does. Well, and that his baby.
His baby.
Sure does too, but I love this illustration because there are three single tooths flying out of his mouth.
Well, I know that way back then, tooth repair was easy and painless, so he'll be fine.
He'll be fine. So Cucullin is thinking to himself, like, if this baby, because, you know, she gives normal bread to Finn to eat, and he's totally fine, and Cucullin's like, well, if this baby can eat bread, maybe I shouldn't meet his dad.
Technically, the impressive thing should be that the baby can even eat bread. Technically, the baby should be eating baby food, but, you know,
well, and then here's the thing. He goes up to the baby, and he says, you know, is he strong? And then
baby!
Finn opens his mouth and says, are you strong? And it's like, dude, she gave you one instruction. Shut your pie hole.
Well, you know, Cacullen doesn't have kids. And you know how you get, like, really vague on, like, how advanced they are at what ages? He's probably like, yeah, babies can totally talk. That's right. That's right, right?
Well, yeah,
that's a thing, right?
Well, then Finn challenges him to crush some stones.
Okay, well, Finn, you're just an idiot.
Meanwhile, the dog and cat, because she has a cat and he has a dog, they're just looking at this situation on the sidelines like, what? Humans are weird.
Oh, boy.
Giants are weird.
Giants are weird.
And so, yeah, these just, he's trying to crack these stones.
Oh, feats of strength? Feats of strength!
Yep, and so Una gives a round of cheese, and of course Finn can crumble it into pieces, and Cacullen's like, oh my gosh, if this child can crush stones, maybe I'm no match for the father. And he's like, okay, well, I'm gonna go now. Yeah, I'm gonna go.
I'm good.
And, but he wants to look at the teeth of this baby that can eat, you know, iron bread, essentially.
Again, very unclear on when babies have teeth, he is, so.
Yeah. Right, well, he sticks his finger into the baby's mouth.
That's his fault.
It is.
That's his fault. You don't do that.
And Finn,
it's unhygienic.
And it's the magic finger, too. He could have done it on his other hand.
You could have done any finger.
But he stuck his finger into Finn's mouth. Finn bites as hard as he can. Breaks off the finger.
Nicely done.
No blood, Betsy.
Oh, well, you know what? Dismemberment of digits is still pretty good.
Well, and because he cut off the magical finger, now he doesn't have any magic powers, and so Finn is able to kick him out of the house, literally through the door. Wood shatters everywhere, and then he comes tumbling down the hill because they turned the house.
All right, yeah.
So now he's headed towards the water, and he rolls down the hill and into the sea, and he's never seen from again. And I'm just looking, okay, in the water, there's like a couple who just netted like, I don't know, a year's worth of fish, and they just lost all of it. But there are really adorable sea lions that are in the water.
Oh, okay, that makes up for it.
It's really cute. Come on, but yeah, so then it ends with the wife being awesome and fearless, and they spend the rest of their days together, and they're happy with the winds are always at their backs and their faces to the sun, the end.
You know, this is the only Finn McCool story I know. I know he has a bunch of them, and this is literally the only one I know because it's the one where he gets to be a baby, and that's just awesome.
Yeah.
Big, strong, giant man pretending to be a baby.
Well, and I'm glad that he didn't feel, like, emasculated and say to his wife, I'm not going to do that.
No, he seems pretty clear from the start, like, my wife's smarter than I am.
Yep.
I'm just going to do whatever she says.
Yeah.
She's got a whole crazy plan. It's just so crazy, it just might work.
Yeah, but yeah. I still don't understand the braids.
No. If any of y'all listening to this can explain the braids to us, we welcome it. Because we just don't know.
Is it ratings time?
It is. I just want to say one quick note. Robert Byrd, who did the illustrations for this, never won a Caldecott.
Aww.
And he did tons of books. He did win Seibert's, and he had a book that he illustrated win a Newbery. But he never got a Caldecott. This one.
Yeah. Womp womp.
Not all of us can. Ratings time.
You go first.
I like this book. I like it a lot. It's fun. I like how it's illustrated. I like all the little details. But I just think it's a good retelling of a classic myth. Should it have some back matter? Yeah, it should.
It's got some.
You know, for the times, it has quite a bit. It has a ton of text, but I think that was the best way to tell it. And clearly the man put his back into the art.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go kind of high on this one. I'm going to do a 7.5.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like you must have known that I was going to like this book.
It has all the title elements. To it. I mean, it's highly detailed, which you love. And you love your Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got your Ireland in it. So it did feel like a Kate book.
And I love a story about a badass, clever, witty, fearless woman who isn't afraid to stand up to bullies and put a man in his place. She's great.
That place being a cradle.
The story should have been called Una McCall and her coward husband, not
and
Finn.
And her baby man.
I love it. I would read this year round and not just on St. Patrick's Day. Mm-hmm. Not only for the story, but the incredible tiny details throughout the book. They keep you looking on every single page. It's a strong 8 for me.
Wow.
If the title had changed and if the explanation for the braids were in there, then I would give it a higher rating.
Oh, yeah. I agree. There's some superfluous elements to it, but yeah. I think that's a classic.
It's a classic.
It's a classic.
Yay! Woo!
Well done. Letters time. Ooh. All right. The first one comes from Jana, and she is talking about the last book that we did that we did not care as much for, Zeralda's Ogre.
Ugh.
And she writes, remember at the end, it shows one of the kids, you know, she has kids. We won't go into that. But one of them has a knife and fork and is looking at the baby in her arms. And Jana says, if only there'd been a sequel. At least then the kid with the fork and knife could have gone nuts and produced some blood and murder for Kate.
Right?
Yeah. By the way, listening to the podcast takes my dog walking up several notches. I walk down the sidewalk with a goofy smile on my face and kidlit inspiration to do or not to do in my heart. Thanks, Betsy and Kate.
Aww.
Very nice.
What a nice comment. Thank you.
And then we also did another book we did not enjoy relatively recently, which was Skippy John Jones.
Ugh.
And Heather D writes in and says she was actually the one who suggested a book that we will be doing in the near future. And she writes, Hola, señoras y señor. I'm writing to express my sincere thanks to Betsy for sparing me from having to recommend this terrible book. Kate has been asking for a crappy book for some time.
Yeah.
Skippy John Jones is one of the worst I can name. I was really struggling with myself trying to decide if I should suggest this title. I have a hard time recommending bad books. I consider this series to be up there with Tiki Tiki Tembo in my personal please avoid list of children's books.
Mm.
Several years ago, I spent a fair amount of time and energy convincing kiddos preschool to remove Skippy John from storytime rotation. It was a favorite of one of the teachers. I think she liked the small stuffy plus book set from a local chain store. After I explained my concerns and provided a list of several own voices alternatives, including Juju Morales, the school opted to replace Skippy John. I'm very relieved to hear that I can keep my above 5 average for recommended titles. Much obliged, Heather.
Aw.
That's very nice.
Yeah.
All right. Grown-up things we like.
Okay, so every month I'm donating to a different nonprofit, and this month I donated to Safe House Nevada. So 7 years ago this month, I moved from Vegas to Chicago, and my friend Beth Flory helped me get out of a bad marriage. Mm-hmm. She is now the executive director of a domestic violence shelter in Vegas that provides housing, counseling, and legal advocacy. They are going into their 30th year this year. Wow. And have helped both victim survivors and their kids. So if you're not aware, from 1994 to 2010, approximately 4 in 5 victims of intimate partner violence were female, and 40% of child abuse victims also report experiencing domestic violence. So I would encourage everyone to either volunteer or donate to their local domestic violence shelter. Money is great, but sometimes shelters will specifically request things like shampoo, body wash, towels, things like that. I am very glad that we did a story about a badass woman, and my recommendation is about supporting badass survivors. So if you have the time or the money, go ahead and donate to your local domestic violence shelter because they need help too.
Excellent suggestion.
Yeah.
Very nice. Let's see. My grown-up things are, well, it's new podcast time. I haven't done a new podcast recommendation in a while. I should say first, if we're talking about badass women, that Maintenance Phase, one of my favorite podcasts, is back after a very long hiatus. So everyone check that new episode out. It is fantastic. I'm enjoying 2 new podcasts, actually. The first one is Sporkful. Sporkful is a food-related. It's kind of weird that I haven't done a food-related podcast before. I really am enjoying that one, but I'm also enjoying Knock Knock High with Dr. Glock... Oh, God, here we go. Dr. Glockenflecken. There we go. You may be familiar with Dr. Glockenflecken from Instagram, where his Instagram videos are the best of the best. He's actually an ophthalmologist, and so his episodes alternate between doing some with his wife about different medical things and then doing some just on eyeballs. And I'm learning a lot about eyeballs. Don't try to change the color of your eyes medically or surgically. It's a bad idea.
Okay.
Yeah, don't tattoo him either. It's just not great. So. Yeah. So that would be The Sporkful and Knock Knock High. Two great podcasts.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Great. This was a fun one.
This was a nice one. Yeah. Yes. And now...
Oh, I can do a nice, you know, like a cheers, you know, as a...
Sliante? Is that how they say it?
Slancha?
Slancha. That's it.
But how about this? How about there are good ships and there are wood ships and there are ships that sail the sea, but the best ships are friendships. So here's to you and me.
Aw, you're so sweet.
Slancha!
Slancha!
Hey!
Well, until I find a book half as good as this one, I've been Betsy.
I'm Kate.
Bye. Fuse 8 and Kate is a Fuse Number 8 production. You can reach us at FuseKate8@gmail.com. You can follow our podcast on Twitter at Fuse_Kate. You can follow us on Instagram, Threads, and Blue Sky at Fuse8Kate. That's Fuse8Kate. Listen to us on Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, Audible, Amazon Music, or Player FM. Or follow us on iTunes and rate our podcast if you're so inclined. Our music is by Haddon Kime, and our giant causeway is Drew Atienza. Fuse 8 and Kate is a creation of Kate Atienza and Betsy Bird.